Good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. It is also clearly the busiest weekend and week of Catalina. The whole year, it comes down to this for some employers to get it right. For most of us, though, we have been off campus at a really cool conference. Most of you that attend here regularly know purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church. At Saddleback has been a really big conference, and this year we had a chance to go with 21 people from the church here on the island. Isn't that cool? 21 people came. This was a really big deal because in leadership, you've got the right people there to make some big changes, big decisions, and pray over big needs. So it was really cool. In addition to that, we had our Fellowship of Christian Athletes sports camp go on this week. The first time we've ever taken students off the island to UCLA, to the camp that's hosted, literally across the nation. This camp, you guys come on up here real quick. This camp specifically had 1,200 campers. Somebody else say that one more time. Yes. And in general, this probably is an experience we had. We had 9 from our group go. A couple others went separate. They have never experienced this before. For the first time ever, we started an FCA club at the high school. And this whole year, we've been talking it up. We started out with 17 that were on fire to go to camp. And we ended up with 9. And I am blessed to say these 9 have come back to tell you some of their story. Amen? This was cool. 1,200 student athletes at this thing. There's the photo behind me. Those are people that make up that photo, okay? They're in the stands at UCLA. This morning we have Giselle, Grace, and Big Poppy, our lone dude. We also had Christo and Tanya and Pablo, and they may be coming in a little later. A lot of these guys are working today. Anyway, Poppy, we'll start with you. Tell me about camp, first of all. Overall experience, what do you think?
All right, my name's Jesus. I went for baseball. And camp was amazing. Not only did I go for the sport that I love, but the Jesus that we all love. And I think camp was a great experience for me. I didn't really know Jesus as well as I do now after camp. I was just a Catholic Christian, going for baseball, going and program really was my favorite part because we were in a room filled with everyone, 1,200 kids, and we worshiped God. We felt the love of God. His appearance was there. It was just amazing. Like, I've never felt that love in my life, and I think that's what my favorite part about Camp West program. We had fun, we had emotion there. It was just amazing. I met a lot of great friends. I still keep in touch with them. It was just overall an amazing camp.
Dude, give me something, man. Hold up. I have a quick question. So I think it was on Wednesday. Is it Santa Monica Beach? All right, so Wednesday, a baseball player showed up there, Zach, right?
His name was Zach.
His name was Zach, and gave his story.
Yeah, he gave his testimony about how God entered his life during his rough days in baseball. He didn't play as much as he wanted to, so he had a little phase going through, and long story short, he offered to baptize 15, and 15 students rose up, and I was one of those 15.
Dude, I'm stoked. I don't know what to say. Grace, how many years have you been going?
This is my third going.
Okay. And did you do baseball?
No, I did soccer.
So tell me about soccer. Did you see any old friends, old leaders? Was it a good reunion? And your overall experience?
So yeah, in my huddle group, there was two of the girls in there. One of them was in my huddle group every year I've gone, and one of them was in my huddle group last year. So it was really nice having friends that I've already, like, connected with, you know? Like, my first year going, I knew no one, and it was really hard. But then this year, since I already had some friends, it was nice. And the rest of my huddle group, I think that was the one year, like, the first night we, like, connected. And, like, just so much poured out of our hearts, even on the first night when we didn't even know each other. And so it was, like, it was crazy, but it was so nice. And then the rest of my experience, my favorite part, again, was, like, program. But also, like, during practice and everything, the coaches and the huddle leaders, they, like, share their testimonies. And, like, it was just amazing. And, like, getting to play soccer with not only, like, other people who share your passion for the sport, but also share your passion for God. And, like, they're just so kind, and they're just so much different than, like, other people who just play the sport. And, like, during program, being in a room, like he said, with 1,200 other kids doing the same thing is just so amazing. It just, like, it brings you so much joy, and it's just so much fun. And, like, worshiping with them was just amazing, and it was so much fun. And I really, like, really loved my huddle group, and we just, like, reached out to each other so much, and they helped me so much, and, like, I feel like we connected so much. It was great.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Guys, this is Giselle. This is a cool scene. They're actually singing Good, Good Father in the van coming home. Haven't heard that by our teenagers before. This is Giselle Rodriguez. Giselle, this was your first year, right?
This is my first year.
Very cool. And you went for?
I went for soccer.
Soccer as well.
So this is my first year going. I didn't know anything about the camp. I heard a little bit from Grace, but I didn't know anything. The only thing I knew was that I was going to play soccer for a week, and it was at UCLA. My experience was amazing. It was, since the first day I went, I knew I am going to love this place. My favorite part was, again, program. Not only was Jesus incorporated in the game that we played, that we had a passion for, but it was incorporated in mostly everything that we did, everything. From playing the sport to a magic show, it was all incorporated. And I didn't know that God was in everything that we did. From waking up in the morning to going to sleep at night, He was with you everywhere. Everything was incorporated with Him. It was amazing. And there was two groups on Wednesday night at program. One that has not dedicated themselves to God, and then one that was going to rededicate their life. And I went down to rededicate my life to God because I was kind of separated from Him. I wasn't that close to Him. But now that I rededicated my life has changed. I feel more close to Him than I have ever had. And it was just an amazing experience. And I am excited to go back next year.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Awesome. Hey, give me a fist bump. Former team manager, now moving into her first year as a Lady Lancer. Did T-Dog show up or Bravo?
Yeah, she had to go to work.
She had to go to work. She works at Coyote Joe's. And these girls are busy. These teenagers are busy. You know what I'm saying? So thanks for giving up some time. I know a lot of you guys go back to work. That's God stuff. One of the cool things I got as a pastor from my friends in their Catholic faith said, we've done confirmation, Pastor Andrew, but it came alive at camp. It came alive. It came alive through the speakers. It came alive through the songs we got to sing. My God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. And He's a good, good Father. Some of you have sung these songs recently and you've heard them in your brain. Our teenagers aren't able to listen to that on a regular basis. And they heard it for a week. The songs became real and became alive in their heart. Something triggered from confirmation. Something triggered from past teaching. Maybe something their grandmother said or their mother. Something that came through. And it came alive. I wrote that down. It means the world to me. As Poppy received Christ, and as Giselle's talking about her rededication, Christo also rededicated his life. We had Pablo will tell you the best experience he's had was the evening program sessions. It wasn't basketball, and this kid's like addicted to basketball, loves it. But he loved the evening sessions that were there. And Alexa Bravo also gave her heart to Christ. We're hoping to see these kids, and we're hoping to see them in the near future. This Thursday night, for the first time in a long time, we introduce high school youth group. It is a high school youth night. It's not here on this property, but we're going to use homes that have been given to us. And if you want to talk about a place, that's great. We're talking about Hamilton. We're talking about Carson, the Hunkies rooftop. We've got a couple places up in Fairview that are opening it up. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. And in the midst of a lot of temptation that are hitting our high schoolers, God's work is going on. And God's work's going to begin on something new. Who would have thought we could start a high school program from a Fellowship of Christian Athletes club? You don't have to be a Christian, and you don't have to be an athlete. Pretty interesting. Started in 1954 in the public school system, and this program still is alive today with 1,200, the largest camp in the nation that met this week. Guys, thanks for your charisma. And I know Chi's done this camp for several years. Got some alumni here. Anyone here ever heard of FCA before today? Raise your hand. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Wow, it's very cool. Devontae, you were involved in FCA in high school, right? Yeah? President of the club. Very cool. Let's dive into Scripture this morning and dive into something brand new. This is an important week. A lot of people are searching. A lot of people are moving forward. Students are choosing their college classes. Some of them are locking in. Some of them are preparing to go back. Basically, a month is about it. People start planning. A lot of people here are in transition. You're seasonal, and your job is going full steam ahead. Some are already thinking now about what October, November looks like. Will they be transitioning off the island or sticking with it? Some of you are in the process in a relationship, and that relationship's about to take the next step, possibly, good or bad. You've got some decisions to make. A lot of things are hitting us, and in the summer, it just seems like we end our winter rest, and we start getting really, really amped up and busy around here. It doesn't just seem that way. It is that way. And as I focus on things this morning, and as I look at see what God has planned, I get out of the way for this new series completely to say, I am literally tracking right alongside you guys in an area that is so thick with condemnation or confidence. I struggle through these things that I bring before you today to say, there is freedom that awaits. Freedom's a key word, especially the next 4 days. Everybody's talking about freedom, right? And I'm starting this new series called How to Increase Your Confidence. And if I were able to tell you to live with freedom, okay, literally to live with freedom, not just talk about freedom, okay, how to live where you don't go through life wearing a mask. If I could tell you how to be that original masterpiece, okay, students were told this week, you're an original masterpiece. There's nothing like you, no one like you, okay? I guarantee you, you would care. Would you listen? Absolutely. Would you care? Absolutely. And I guarantee you would care whether you would listen or not, you know, and let it sink in and turn your life around. That's up to you. But everybody I've talked to, when we get down literally face to face, and we had a little Chick-fil-A moment the other day where we did some debriefing. And one of them popped their bun off their chicken and saw the heart. Did you guys see that photo up there? Their sandwich looked like a heart. And there it was Alexa. She's going, look at this, you know. God sent me a heart in my chicken sandwich. Any of you gone down to Pebbly Beach and picked up a rock and seen a heart? Some of you keep them out front of your home. You guys know what I'm saying. This week we saw some of that at our conference. One of our last nights was a worship night. The speaker was talking about a heart, what he received from that. But if we really talk about the original masterpiece versus the fake carbon poser, okay? People want to be original. They don't want to copy someone. I don't want to copy anybody. Nobody likes being a fake, okay? But from early on, we begin to feel the feelings. Early on, when you think about who you are now, sometimes shame and guilt creeps in, finds its way in the door. It just knocks on these students' lives. I guarantee you, students feel it, and they're very transparent. But as you get older, sometimes it's easy to suppress this stuff. It's easy to kind of beat your conscience into submission. And instead of your, you know, the Holy Spirit being able to speak to you, you start feeling just plain old shame, plain old guilt. The words that are said to us are very obvious. Yesterday I went down, it was a long day of study, catching up from a weekend of conference, and I needed a break. And Dan Hunke sent me a text, said, "Hey, 45 minutes, want to do some volleyball?" And I went down to the sand volleyball courts, and I noticed right next door, you know how the basketball sits right next door, there were some guys, and they were shooting for teams. And usually it's the first five, right? Okay. And three of these guys right up front didn't even get a chance to shoot. The first few made it. And these guys just walked off the court dejected. When they realized they didn't have enough guys, one of the guys that had made it is kind of in charge, looked at him and goes, "Hey, you three walking off the court. Guys, come shoot for this last spot on the team." Two of them missed right off the front, and the third guy made it, so he was the fifth guy on the team. And those two that missed, dejected, walked off the court like, "My life stinks, man." And even at a young age, you can see physically things begin, how words begin to create feelings inside the way people think at a young age. And they start to live those out as they get older. And those feelings never go away, you know? I mean, even the way people think about you, but just you miss the shot, or you don't get the grade, or your teacher just labels you before you come in because of your brother 2 years before that or something like that, you know? All of a sudden, those things creep in. You think that stuff wouldn't bother a kid, but the messages that you hear all your life start to stick with you, shame and guilt. And because of that, all of us are here wanting to fit in. This is where some of my journal came in here. We quickly throw this mask on. I really believe God created each of us differently. I was reminded of that so beautifully this week as Rick Warren was talking about snowflakes are different, people are different. And I looked across several thousand people in this church and realized all the languages, all the different cultural languages, and how church is done differently all over the world. And we're on the same team. And sometimes those things build up between congregations or churches, and we're reminded this week of unity. We're reminded that, man, freedom in the essentials, or the non-essentials, but unity in the essentials, as James tells us. We're going after the same Jesus. We're going after the same heaven. Let's respect each other. And because of that, though, people do throw masks on, and we want to look alike, but we have different fingerprints. We're all different. Body measurements, all these things, because God, in His creativity and His love, says, "I'm going to make you different." And this is a shorter message today. We have communion today and other things. I want you to reflect on who you are in Christ. And we've done things today to allow those that are seekers, basically those who have never received Christ, they're not quite sure about this whole God thing. In fact, it could be a little confusing, but they're checking this out. They're just here on the surface. And they may not, you know, understand it all. They may even, you know, deny some of the stuff that's there. But everybody can honestly tell you, no matter who you are, of any mentality, Jesus really was a person. And He really did exist. There is no argument. I mean, even non-biblical sources can tell us there was a man named Jesus that walked this planet. And where things get confusing or a little testy is where you will hear someone say, "I just don't believe, quite honestly, if He was who He said He was. I believe He existed, but as far as being the God-man, that's a bit steep. The Messiah, the Savior, that's where people get into the disagreements." So I put in this message something for the seeker today. And then we have our stumblers, those that have crossed the line. You're not a seeker anymore. You're a Christian, but you would describe yourself as somebody who is just stumbling in your faith. No matter what, we find ourselves here. Even myself, I go through things, and I'm just stuck. I don't get it. It's hard to be a Christian sometimes. It's even hard to be a Christian on Sunday. Sometimes when you go to school, sometimes when you check out at work, sometimes there's a concert coming, and everything you've been standing for kind of takes a shelf because you want to go to the concert. You don't want people to label you. You don't want to be riding the fence, so you cross over. You kind of live in two worlds. You've got a Christian mask on, and then you've got this world mask on. And this message is for you. And then thirdly, those of you who want your life to shine. sold out. You want to make a difference in the world. You want to live God's way, not the world's way. You've chosen a different path, and you want to go towards the right direction. You're already moving that way. I guarantee you, you fit in one of these three categories, and this message is for you. And actually, the next few weeks, we got a testimony from a woman next week. She's going to be talking about who she was, who she is, and the struggle that's still going on, even today, having to work today, some of the new employees that are coming in, and the struggle that she has with some of the folks at work. She's going to be sharing next week. I hope that every Avalonian would want to hear something like this. God's word is life-changing. Amen? And the story is timeless. And no matter what category you fit into, God has something for all of us today. And we can live with confidence. We can live with that knowing he's got our back. Or if you go the world's way, eventually you're going to be condemned and someone's going to point their finger at you. It's usually how people live. They usually live with a degree of confidence or condemnation. I put a definition in there. Look at your notes. You should have some today, okay? And if you were given those, there's fill in the blanks. If you don't have one, our guys can hook you up. Just raise your hand, okay? Michael, could you help out? There's a few in here scattered around. Good. And if you need a pen, grab a pen too, and they come with pens simply because there are fill-ins there. Condemnation is kind of a tricky word. I put in a definition there for you. It's when you feel condemned. Condemnation is when you feel condemned. You really feel condemnation by feeling guilty, disapproved of, feeling unfit, and feeling judged against. Condemnation is a big deal. It's feeling, you know, I'm never gonna make the cut. And if you flip that over, okay, confidence is to feel that you can live boldly without fear, okay, of the past, definitely the current present, okay. Think of us and think of where you're at right now. Think of that where you're at. How are you living? You feel confident where you're at presently, like your current decision-making process, maybe the job you have. Maybe the relationship that you're in or about to start. Are you living with confidence? Think of this, though, okay? Lots of people here that have a fake confidence. This is where I've been walking. Kind of an arrogance. You think, man, you know, this person looks confident, but underneath the surface, they're struggling. It's a cocky arrogance that's rooted, quite honestly, in insecurity. And this is where a lot of my own personal story comes in. Just the drivenness that I followed as a young man into my 20s and even early 30s, where a cracked foundation was there that God wanted to build on, but there was just nothing sustainable. Because that drivenness was really unhealthy. And it came from a wound from my father, who was just not present in my life. Hardest working man that I knew, but wasn't there really to affirm and validate and to affirm my manliness. Just, you have what it takes, son. And unfortunately, I lived with that question, do I have what it takes? And I'll show you. And my drivenness really brought about a false sense of security. I really wasn't secure. I was wondering if I could tackle this project that was next. I worked hard, and I put a lot of effort into making sure my father knew that I was putting it out there. These definitions, where do I want to live? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be sustained in? And quite honestly, hopefully it's boldly without fear of the past. Boldly that you understand your present. I want you to live that way as well. That's what I want to teach you this morning, are just some basic, very practical truths that have helped me this morning. And a major cause, this is on your outline, the major cause of a lack of confidence is shame and guilt. Write it in. Write it in. Shame and guilt. People live with a sense of shame about who they are and a constant guilt. And it's all over Avalon. It's very real. Beautiful island out here in the Pacific Ocean. And yet people sometimes come here as an escape. They're running from something. They don't see the beauty in the island because, quite honestly, they're not here yet. They're still escaping from something. And it's hard. Because of that, they search for confidence. They get a quick job. They get a quick income. Housing comes in very quickly. Things that build confidence on the outside. But still inside, the job cannot replace that inner security. And after a while, they move on, or they transition to something else, or another relationship, or something else that money can buy. Security isn't there. And as a result, shame and guilt replace that. I did some study 2 weeks ago when I was putting this together of self-confidence in people. This is how your life would be different if you were self-confident. Statistics tell us truly confident people are successful. They literally are satisfied in their relationships. They're okay with that. They're willing to help others. They assume leadership. They're productive, and they're way more productive than most, and they're less affected by stress. These are people with confidence, okay? And in the next few weeks, I'm not sure how long this will take, but I'm going to talk out of one chapter in the Bible that puts this in perspective. There we go. Romans is brilliant. We could spend eternity here. Rick Warren was saying he did a 2.5 year verse-by-verse study in Romans at his church. Imagine hearing Romans for 2.5 years. Saddleback was there. But if you don't have a Bible, I'd be happy to get one to you. And there's some right behind your seat that you're sitting in. Just reach to the back right there. We have others we can float that are sitting in the very, very back bench. There's a stack of them. And if you need a copy of God's Word today, just take that one with you. We'd rather you have one. A lot of you have it on your phones, which is awesome. Make sure that app is up and running. And you can actually choose what translation you want to read it from, which makes it even easier. But we're looking at Romans 8 just over and over in the next few weeks. Every single verse has to do with confidence. I've had my nose in this because I've made some bold moves in my life recently. Bold moves. Some of which are in my marriage, and they're still being tested. Bold moves are not going to go without opposition. True? Opposition is there to take you out. You understand the word opposed. And as a result, bold moves require bold steps of structure behind it. Confidence. Romans 8 kind of confidence, not my confidence. Romans 8, where we go with it, okay? Every single verse is loaded. Statistics also tell us the majority of our world, especially here in the U.S., struggle with this. USA Today did an interesting survey. They asked people what they feel guilty about. 35% of Americans said, I feel guilty all the time. I actually have no idea why. I can't put my finger on it. They feel guilty and they have no clue. Let's take a look in your notes right there, okay? There is a whole list that we put down of signs that you struggle with guilt and shame. So here you go. Maybe something's on the list that opens you up. Maybe something's going, I got this. But let's start with number one. I despise myself. Now, if you're putting a check mark on here, be careful who's sitting next to you, okay? But this might help you out. I despise myself. Or how about, I feel like I'm a fake. I'm always posing. Or how about, I see God disgusted with me. He's got something for me. And this is the thing I actually hear from many people. Some of you can't get the idea that God really does love you, okay? That's what this gist of this message is today. I've had people say, I don't think I could do anything to make God love me. Maybe if I was a missionary in Africa or something, or I was full-time in a DTS around the clock, I got eaten by cannibals while I was preaching, maybe God would love me then, okay? I've heard it all. They're just miserable. They don't think God can love me. Look at the next one. I discount any positive at all in my life, any positive qualities. Or how about I brag about my flaws? Or I don't feel worthy of praise. You can see this in a teenager's eyes, the way they accept flattery. Nice shot out there. Good defense. And they kind of look at you like how they receive it is a big deal. You can tell what's going on in their life. Some of the things that are internally still working themselves out. How people receive flattery. You can see how Jesus navigated that stuff. I don't feel worthy of praise. Self-defeating attitudes where they destroy their own potential success. They do that to themselves. I hear criticism of what I do is a criticism of who I am. It's literally who I am, what I do. I project my feelings of guilt and shame sometimes on others. They get within 10 feet of you and there's a transferal, kind of like this wet blanket that's laid on top of your friends too. And you're thinking, all I do is bring people down. Have you ever seen people who just like to pound other people? Sometimes it's intentional. physically beat them up, or even verbally, okay? Just projecting their shame and guilt on other people. Or this one, I feel guilty because of what? I am guilty. They pronounce themselves that. Have you ever met someone or have a friend where they say all the time, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? Anybody know anybody like that? Okay. They're always searching. Yeah. People who come here sometimes, they miss two or three Sundays in a row. And this just happened recently. And they're definitely not here this morning, so I can talk about them. They'll say, oh, Pastor Andrew, I missed last Sunday. Dude, it was, you would not believe what I had going on. He must be mad at me. You know, they just all of a sudden apologize for missing a fourth Sunday or a second Sunday. And I'm just thinking, you know, hi, I'm glad you're here. You know, you're welcome. I don't know, maybe I had bad gas or something. I don't know what's going on in my face, but I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset. I'm glad you're here. Dude, no condemnation. You're here. Very cool. But you'll see people automatically. They see a pastor and they start apologizing. There's stuff internal that's there. It's working. And I'm just like, welcome back, man. You know, you can come whenever you want. But people feel that way. People live in the world with a shame and guilt. And they walk away from the Lord for a while. Then they go party. They go do all this stuff that they think is going to bring them life. This is so true in Catalina. Then they get to the bottom and say this, dude, I need God. I'm trashed. I am totally low. Or they blow it on a Saturday night and they're like, I so need to go to church tomorrow. Man, I need God. So what they do is they come back to church, and what happens? They walk in the door and automatically feel like everybody hates them. Nobody hates you. Church isn't here to hate. Our welcome team is not out front to judge you. We are glad you're here. Honestly, you can come as often as you want. And when God looks at you, that's the same feeling. It's the same thought. I'll take you as you are. Just come as you are. I'm not mad at you, okay? But if you keep asking me that question, I will then be mad at you. You're driving me nuts. But how do people replace condemnation and confidence? How do they replace those? The reality is you and I are going to live one way or the other, and I think you have to accept these biblical truths. These are it. Because if you let yourself get angry, if you let yourself get mad, you go party too much and you show up here and think everyone's mad at you. The church has just ticked off at me. God's word's the only thing that's going to set that straight. Because as much as I tell you, whoa, I'm not mad. I'm glad you're here. You're not buying it. Because something internally needs fixing from God's word. Amen? Let's go to it. Number one, accept that God's forgiveness is real. Don't miss that. Write that in. It's real. I told you I was going really practical. Okay? It's not fake. If you're over in the seeker place, you may be hearing this for the first time in your life. And if you're here in the stumbler or those who want to shine and make a difference in the world, you've heard this message a million times about God's forgiveness. And here's a million and one. What I want you to do is circle the word real. Because this is where people struggle. When you walk in, you feel judged by the church. You walk in, you're just like, Pastor, I haven't been here. I know what you're going to say to me. I haven't said anything. All those things need you to understand. Forgiveness is real. It's real, okay? You've got to accept God's forgiveness is real if you're going to live with a sense of confidence. Let's do it, and let's do it now. Romans 8, check it out. 1-4, okay? So, there is no condemnation, okay? For those of you who have been writing me off, look at this. This is God's word. Don't blow me off. Look at God's word on this one. So there is no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Circle the word belong if you have that in your notes. If not, write it in, okay? You've heard me say this before, and if you believe in Jesus, you understand what he's done for you is very personal for your sins, okay? You belong. You belong. That's what a Christian is. It's someone who has done something. These students were saying up here, Giselle said it, I didn't realize God was in everything. She belongs. She understands. She has a good, good father. He's after all of me. He cares for all that I do. Not just, you know, if I go to Mass or I go to church. He cares about her going to class every day and how she gets up, how she feels about her day, and how she lays down at night and the thoughts that are there. He is a good father. He's an involved father. He's not checked out. This verse is telling you that there's no condemnation. I've got something better for you. It's awaiting for you. So if you're exploring Christianity, check this out. This is the backbone statement right here. Okay? Jesus has freed me of the vicious cycle of sin and death. We're not saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God because we can't and don't keep them. Notice what it says here. We're not saved by keeping the commandments. I saw an interview not too long ago with Bill Gates on television. Many of you know that name. Wealthiest individual alive, according to Forbes. They got into a discussion about religion. Even Christianity was brought up. Somebody asked him, "Are you religious?" And he said, "I try to keep the Ten Commandments." He said it real quick, okay? Isn't that nice? And I can tell you that's what every non-Christian who wants to kind of live in this moral life says. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. What the Bible says is you can't keep the Ten Commandments. God doesn't grade us on the curve like if you get 7 out of 10, okay? Can't do that. Will that let me in? Possibly. It says this. Look at the verse. Jesus freed me from the vicious cycle of sin and death. You had to be freed from that. We're not saved by knowing the commandments because we can't and don't keep them. Okay? So how are you saved? God gave us a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in the human body, Jesus, like ours, except ours is sinful, and destroyed sin's control over us by giving himself a sacrifice for our sins. This is the backbone of what we believe. Under sacrifice, write cross, if you have that in there. Cross. These are huge words, sacrifice and cross. You can add those to your notes. That's where the sacrifice was when Jesus did this for you. He hung on a cross. That's Christianity 101. That's the backbone. Okay? That's why we believe what we believe. It's very essential in the Catholic faith too. With no cross, there is no salvation. It's a part of it. That we're forgiven when we accept Christ. The passage doesn't say that I won't sin. It says that God declares me not guilty. Amen to that. Thank gosh. Even the thoughts I had yesterday or this morning, you're not under condemnation. From the present and the future, everybody would have a huge, huge blackboard for their sins. It has all sins listed on there. And this is when Jesus comes into our life with a mega eraser. And he comes in and he erases these things clean. That's what forgiveness is. He wipes them away completely. For some of us in here, when we pray, God, forgive me of this sin again. God goes, again? What are you talking about, Willis? Again? I don't get it. Again? Because he sees no more. It's been erased. Completely taken away. So if you want to live with confidence, you've got to accept that God's forgiveness is real. Okay? So many of us in here live in condemnation because we don't believe this. We've heard it. We've heard it, but we don't believe it. God is a God that shames us, is what we hear. He's after me. Always on my case. We believe that God's in heaven wanting to just wipe us out. Then we get into a car accident. God's saying, did you see that? Totally crashed. That's what the deal is. Like when you're running, God's going to drop a tree in front of you or something like that. It's these thoughts that he is after you to punish you. That's some kind of a sick, twisted dude up there with his angels being mean and bringing nothing but shame and guilt on my life. It is a twisted view. It's a God that you haven't known. That's not true. That's not the God of the Bible. It's not the one we're reading about here in Romans. Some of us like that whole idea that God is scheming against me. When you really believe in God's forgiveness, though, you walk in confidence. Things start to develop in your life you never saw coming. God provides. He gives you confidence. Amen? Still, some are saying, Hobbs, you don't know what I've done. You have no idea what I've been thinking. You may say this to everybody else in here. You don't know my life. You don't know I've had an abortion. You don't know I paid my girlfriend to have an abortion. Let me go back to that verse. There's no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. Did you read that? Is that sinking in this morning? No condemnation. God doesn't get to the backboard to erase everything and say, abortion? ? I'll skip that. I'll not erase that. He doesn't do that. You say, my grandma was on her deathbed. I stole from her. There is no condemnation awaiting those who believe in Christ Jesus. But you're talking like church people, man. You don't know the depths. I was addicted to porn and how much it affected my mind, my relationships. My one with my wife is shot. There is no condemnation. When you have a relationship with Jesus, he gives us a gift. It's the gift of forgiveness. It's completely a gift from him to you. And if you want to live with confidence, You accept that forgiveness is real. It's not talk. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's real. Back in 1986, I was a junior in high school, and this movie came out. Liam Neeson, one of his few films that I remember seeing him in. It's called The Mission. And there's a guy who committed a sin, and he felt like he had literally not enough to pay for it. He just had to take this as far as he could. And what he did to pay for it was load himself up with all the tools and baggage of this tribe of people that he was with. Okay? So he loaded up all this equipment. As they're hiking to a new setting, he's carrying this baggage. And he was carrying the guilt and shame of everything that he had done, so to speak, and figured, if I carry this long enough, I will earn my forgiveness. Think about that in your own life, how you carry some of the baggage from your past and some of the stuff that you've done. I know I do. Thinking you can earn forgiveness as much as you've been heard, and as much as maybe you've even heard the message over and over again, you just keep moving through life carrying the baggage of the past. And I love the actor, how he yanks a machete out. And what's he doing? He's whacking away at the cords, trying to open this man's life up again to make the journey that you want, free him. Jesus comes along and he goes, man, I have a new plan. I've got a whole new setup. And the plan was that I would come to destroy the control of sin in your life. By sending Jesus to die on a cross, God turned around, and there's basically two religions in this world, human achievement and the religion of divine achievement. God sets this up for you. Let go. Let go. Human achievement. You can study all the religions in the world, put them under this umbrella, and you can earn, just says you can earn your way to heaven. That's what it says. You spell human achievement like this. Do. You have to do stuff. Christianity is spelled way different, okay? I don't know if you've got this off, but this is what it's spelled like. It's spelled done. It's done. It's all been done. He paid the price so you and I can be forgiven. We can live with confidence, move forward. He's cut those cords. You can make the journey. You can begin anew. Christianity is spelled way different. And some of you are saying, I understand it intellectually, but to feel it, it's different. How do I do that? How do I do that? I must not only accept God's forgiveness is real, but number two, I got to change the way I think. Bottom line, my thinking is out of control. Look at it in your notes. Romans 8, 5 through 7 talks about being controlled by God's Spirit or being controlled by your flesh. You've got to change the way and what you think. You've got to focus on what God has in store for you, what the Holy Spirit desires. Rick Warren this week at our conference was talking about people that are addicted to things and how you stare at something and then, you know, you just think, I'm not going to do it. 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 And you do it. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to eat this. And then you eat this. Instead of turning your vision, completely changing your mind towards something, to saying, I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to look at this. I'm not going to go there. It's a change of your thinking. It's a change in your mind. The Bible says to be renewed by the transforming of your, yeah, it's a big deal. Because if you think, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, you're going to do it. Because you're what? You're focused on it. What we heard this week. It's great stuff. The more you focus on it, no matter how much you don't want to do it, you're going to do it. You change your focus. You change your thinking entirely. Great verse, and it's loaded. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. Way different. Way different. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the big one, self-control. We get out of control a lot. That's changing our thinking. I understand that God's forgiveness is real. Now, I'm going to focus on the good stuff, not the garbage. I'm going to change my thinking. I was reading this book, and I just started it, actually. It was on slavery. My son and I bought this book at a plantation where slaves were kept in the Jacksonville area. And I was just kind of looking at the thinking of the slave traders. What were they thinking? What was in their mind? What was going on in there? And my friend actually is studying some of that. And I gave him a phone call. Then I got on the internet and I looked up the Emancipation. You guys heard of that, right? Where slavery was abolished entirely, okay? What I found is that even though the Emancipation Proclamation was installed and slavery was supposed to stop, slavery continued for years. It continued for years. You kept a slave ignorant. That's what you did. You just didn't tell him. You kept him on the field. If he doesn't know about the Emancipation Proclamation, I'm going to turn around and keep him working. He'll just keep right on working. If he doesn't know that slaves have been freed, he'll keep working. Hello. How does this fit for Christians? Satan does the same thing. He lets us think we're not forgiven. And they'll keep living with the shame and the guilt. If we can convince Andrew Hobbs that he's not forgiven, then he'll keep living his life with shame and guilt. He'll put his head down. He'll hang his head. He'll talk about what a loser he is. He'll live with a feeling of condemnation and guilt and disapproval, as opposed to living with confidence. God doesn't want us to hang our heads in shame. Romans 8 is the Christian's Emancipation of Proclamation. Look at this other verse. There's another. Galatians 5 is in your notes. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good. If you don't have the verse there, write in thoughts. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Write in the word think. Add that to your notes. Think. Dwell on what is fine, the good in others. Circle or write in dwell. It's trying to tell you something. Thoughts. Think. Dwell. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. Think, once again, is written in there. You put these four words. These are the things you got to do in your mind. You got to think. You got to dwell. You got to fix your thoughts. You got to change the way we think entirely. Accept God's forgiveness. It's real. Okay? Let me tell you a little story here about Johnny. Johnny was 8. Lived on a farm, and he had a slingshot, and the dude could not hit the broadside of a barn. No matter what he did, no matter what he shot at, he missed. And he didn't care. He was just having fun shooting it. And then one day, as he was cruising into the house, he saw a pile of ducks, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to shoot at the ducks. I know I can't hit anything, so I'll just shoot at the ducks. And he hit one all right, and it happened to be his grandma's favorite duck. Now, Sister Carol was outside the barn not too far away and saw the entire thing at 12 years of age. They went to dinner, and she looked at him like, "You are so busted." And while sitting at dinner, Grandma brought up some small talk. Everybody was engaged and just kind of chatting a little bit. And she said, "You know what, Carol, I'd like for you to clean the table and do the dishes tonight." And she said, "Guess what? I think Johnny would like to clean the table tonight and do the dishes." He was telling me how excited that makes him feel. And Grandma's like, "Well, I don't care who does it." And Johnny's like, "I'm not doing it." And she's like, "Remember the duck." So he cleans the table, does the dishes. And then the next morning, "Carol, I need you to vacuum before I go to work today. Clean the house." You know what? Johnny was telling me how much he loves to vacuum. And he's like, "I am not getting out. Remember the duck." He vacuums. This goes on for 2.5 weeks. Until he has done every single chore, and he does every single thing Carol was supposed to do. Finally says, "The heck with this, I'm sick of this, I'm just coming clean." And he just walks right in there. "Listen, 2 weeks ago, I shot," she goes, "Grandma said, I know, the duck. I watched the whole thing from the kitchen. I just wanted to see how far you let Carol work you." And that's the deal. Terrible. You put that into perspective. God says, forget the duck. Let's just move on. Accept forgiveness. It's real. Change the way you think. Experience the refreshment and the filling of God's Spirit. Write it in. It's refreshing. This past, I don't know what night it was. I don't know what day this is. Sunday. This was Thursday night. We had a worship night. This is unreal. I mean, it started with one of my favorite songs. Seemed like from the 1990s. And as one testimony after another, one singer came up, my heart was starting to explode. I literally felt God's Spirit moving through this building, but I felt it go through my life. I felt different than the way I came in. I can't explain it. I just didn't feel the same. It shot through me. I let go of me. And as I started to sing, I didn't care what I sounded like. I didn't care how loud I was singing. I actually forgot about who was singing around me. I was doing exactly what we were there to do. I was engaged. It took a while, but it felt good. And for some of you, you're going, what is that? That's the churchiest thing I've ever heard. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. If you're not a Christian, I gave you 101. Let me give you 201. When you become a Christian, God puts His Spirit in all of you. That's the deal. That's what the Bible refers to as the Holy Spirit. Some of you maybe have grown up in a Catholic church or other places. You've heard of the Trinity, God the Father, right? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit lives in your lives when you accept Him. That's the deal, okay? When we say, come, drive my life, I'll sit shotgun, you're in charge. Look at this verse, Romans 8, 9 through 11. You're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you, if you're a Christian. Since Christ lives within you, even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit is alive. Because you've been made right with God. I would write those extra words and made right with God. He sees Jesus when He sees you. And if you've been made right with God, here it is. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, He lives in you. And just as He raised Christ from the dead, He'll give you your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. He literally offers you His life. You don't got to live in that condemnation. If Christ is in you, He gives you and me the power to live with confidence. If God's living in you, you have a relationship with you. And the power that He has, there's confidence over condemnation. Amen? It begins moving you forward. You might say in the silence of your heart, Jesus, I need you. I need your Spirit within me. Just say that. I need you. I need your Spirit within me. I'm guilty. I need forgiveness. I don't want to walk in condemnation anymore. You don't have to do something crazy. You don't got to do calisthenics or yoga type positions. And I'm guilty. Forgive me. Just speak to Him silently in your heart. I love this verse, 2 Peter 1:3. For as you know Him better, God, He will give you through His great divine power everything you need. I know it's tough this time of year coming up with rent. There goes another paycheck. God will supply your needs. I'm talking from experience. God will supply your needs. Everything you need. That's what it says. Either you believe it or you don't. He'll give you everything you need for a living, truly good life. He'll even share His own glory, His own goodness. Is it difficult to be a Christian? I say no. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. It's totally impossible for me to live the way God wants me to live without His Spirit. You have got to have the Helper. It's totally impossible. You want to be filled with God's Spirit. The results of these actions, my friends, leads to freedom. True freedom. True freedom. Not temporary freedom. Not party last night freedom. Not whatever just came in my paycheck, bonus freedom. Nope. True freedom. And freedom is the foundation of confidence. It's the foundation of confidence. These students here are going to be tested. They know that. They're already back on the island. They're back in their life. They're back in the world. Their confidence comes from a true freedom that only comes from the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to do communion. Hopefully you've already started. Because to be honest with you, communion, where you are one with God, you must understand this as a Christian in order to celebrate and really focus on what He has done for you. You've got to go back and really see who you are, who you were. That celebration is waiting. I know what God did for me. I know what He's doing for me, and I know what He can do for you. That's communion. It's gratefulness. It's preparing your heart for this. And we've set it up for you this morning. We're going to have a song that's played on a video here. I got an area right down here and an area back over here that's under the banner that when you're feeling like this is where I'm at right now, I would like to have communion. It starts right where you're sitting. And then I invite you to come up with the elements that are there and pause and reflect on your confidence level. What has He done? Who are you? What have you become? What does He want you to become? Let yourself go there. Let yourself have communion with the God of the universe because He made it possible through His Son and can fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask Your blessing on this time, the words that have gone out, the scriptures from Romans that are powerful. May they find root in the lives of those that are searching. May they lift someone out of the mud that is stumbling. And may this morning, someone's life be different as a result of being here today from Your word and communion with You. I thank You in advance for the freedom that is offered through Your plan
and no other way possible. That's what it says. That's what I believe. In Jesus' name, amen.